This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, a few minutes past 3 p.m. So in my 21-year career, I've talked to a lot of rock stars and Hollywood stars and people like that. A few of them were like heroes of mine, and I get to geek out again and be a fanboy for a few minutes because Bob Mould is joining us now. I had no idea who Bob Mould was until I was in law school in the late 80s, and a really cool friend of mine said, hey, you need to stop listening to Warrant, and you need to listen to the Meat Puppets and Husker Du and all these bands. And I'm like, what are you talking about? No one's cooler than Warrant. And so I started listening and fell in love, and Bob Mould joined us now. Bob, thanks for being here, and honestly, genuinely, thank you for all the music. It's meant a lot to me.
Oh gosh, thanks so much for having me. I heard the weather. It sounds like it's getting chilly there.
Yeah. So two generations of Glovers. So I'm 57. I think we're near the same age. And my 26-year-old son, Nick, who I raised right, just texted me and said, tell Bob that that Copper Blue is my favorite album of all time.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. That was a good record. That was, boy, that was a group I had back in the 90s called Sugar. And that Copper Blue was a super fun album to make. I appreciate hearing those kind words.
So, Bob, take me back, not necessarily to the beginning, but to, like, you know, the white hot heat of it in the 80s and the early 90s when all this stuff was happening. And you were going from Warrant and Slayer to Nirvana and Husker Du and bands like that. What was it like just to be playing at that time?
Well, I mean, Husker Du started in 1979 up in the Twin Cities. And, you know, at the time there, you know, we were about, I guess, as a culture, about 3 or 4 years into what we call punk rock, you know, whether it was the Sex Pistols in the UK or the Ramones in the US. And, you know, that was that music really, you know, was appealing to me, you know, like you, I was listening to heavy metal in the 70s. And boy, when I heard punk rock, it was a fresh start, I think, for all of us as to what we could do with popular music. And, you know, as the 80s went on, you know, punk turned into hardcore, and then MTV came along, and then I guess we called it alternative rock. And, you know, it went through a lot of different, you know, different looks in the 80s. But, you know, what I remember with Husker Du was, you know, just a lot of touring, a lot of playing for little to no money, but meeting lots of great people, meeting like-minded bands. You mentioned the Meat Puppets or, you know, other SST bands, the Minutemen, people like that, the Dead Kennedys up in San Francisco, where I live now. I mean, we were all just, you know, we were all just trying to create our own world of music and I guess politics in a way, and, you know, different lifestyles, and everybody was welcome, and it was a great time for music. And, you know, and then when we got to the 90s, I think it, you know, it started to get very commercial. And, you know, you mentioned Nirvana and, you know, Pixies, people like that, and onward we went. But it was sure exciting back in the 80s. It was very different kind of music for that time.
So, Bob, I was a lawyer and a musician, and found my way into radio 20 years ago and done pretty well. And I always tell people who want to do something creative that other than a few real geniuses, everyone just starts out doing a bad impression of someone else. You know,
Yes.
Who are you doing an impression of when you first started out?
Well, again, with Husker Du, I think it was, you know, I mentioned the Sex Pistols, the Ramones, the Clash. You know, I loved the Buzzcocks, you know, a UK band from the late 70s. And I think most musicians or artists, you know, we tend to emulate the things we hear and the things that we love. And, you know, we imitate at first, and, you know, maybe through imitating several different bands at once, if you're lucky, you come up with a unique sound or style that catches people's attention. And, you know, maybe that's what happened with Husker Du. And, you know, it just sort of went from, you know, sort of went from there. So I guess, you know, Ramones, Buzzcocks, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And now you mostly tour by yourself. I love what you do. I love, like, Colin Hay does something similar. He's one of my other absolute idols. He's one of the smartest, funniest guys ever. Tell me about that. Just, you know, touring and being on stage by yourself as opposed to being kind of lost in a band.
Well, I mean, it's, I do still tour pretty regularly with a band, you know, and I put out new records, and I've had 5 new records in the last decade. And each, you know, when I release new albums, you know, I put a rhythm section together, and the 3 of us will go out and we'll do a lot of touring. And then once the initial run of dates is done, I will tend to follow up with solo shows. A lot of times it's because my other bandmates have projects going on. So if I'm by my lonesome, it's a solo show, and it's pretty cool. It tends to be a little wider choice, you know, in the songbook, and, you know, they're pretty intimate shows, and it's really good to, you know, spend time with the crowds and sort of dig deep into the catalog. And yeah, it was just through St. Louis a couple months ago and had a great time there. So, you know, they're fun shows. People, you know, it's two different sides of what I do, I guess.
Yeah. And another side of what you do is you're one of the writers for professional wrestling. Tell me about how you got into that.
Oh my gosh. That was back in 1999. I had friends who worked for a company called World Championship Wrestling, which was based out of Atlanta. And that was the Monday Nitro show and the Thunder show for TBS and TNT. And, you know, I was a lifelong fan of professional wrestling. You know, a lot of what I studied would have been St. Louis wrestling when Sam Muchnick was promoting at the Kiel Auditorium. That's sort of how I learned how professional wrestling worked in terms of matchmaking.
Uh-huh.
And I got called in and spent 7 months doing creative consultant work, helping to run the show from behind the curtain, you know, similar to, I guess if there's people that are listening that understand professional wrestling, I was at Gorilla, which meant I was sort of directing the show in real time, you know, with the production truck and with the agents and the wrestlers and the referees and the sort of intricate, you know, dance that everybody did. And it was a crazy time. You know, 7 months of that felt like 5 years of rock and roll touring.
Yeah, we just had Billy Corgan in. Have you worked with Billy much on the wrestling thing? Because he was in kind of reopening the Chase because of Wrestling at the Chase, which I grew up watching. Have the two of you worked together?
No, we have not. I know Billy's involved in the wrestling business now, like you said, trying to do, keep a lot of the NWA tradition alive. And, you know, that's great. I'm happy to hear that he's still involved and having fun with it. It's a wild profession, but no, Billy and I never worked together on pro wrestling.
Well, Bob, I'm going to let you go. It's been an absolute pleasure for me. Like I said, I've been listening to you religiously now for decades. Just one of my favorites.
Oh,
and
gosh, thanks, Dave.
Thanks again, man. Thanks for being an intelligent voice out there. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Dave. And everybody stay warm. It's getting chilly in San Francisco and sounds like it's chilly in St. Louis. So take care.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
That's Bob Mould. did you sense how much he liked me? Is it just, I'd like...
Yeah, would I it, definitely did.
He can still hear you, I think.
Is it going too far to say best friends? I don't know.
I think it's all right. I think you guys have reached that point.
No, it's super cool. Yeah, how about that? Like, halfway through his career, he's like, I think I'm going to write for professional wrestling.
Yeah.
It's neat. I mean, it's cool whenever somebody reaches, like, a point in their career where they are able to... like branch out and maybe like follow passions and things like that. I always think that's really neat.
Playing that because Bob texted me and said, hey, would you mind playing See a Little Light? I'm like, sure.
Like, would you dedicate a song to me?
He's getting thirsty. Like, he's getting thirsty for real. Rach, I'm fascinated. You're officially an anti-conspiracy theorist when it comes to Epstein.
Yes, because I was listening to a podcast this morning from this New York Times reporter who put in like all of these sunshine requests to the jail that Epstein was kept at and knows the whole story of when he died. And I made notes, which are in my purse, which are in the office. But I remember most of them.
Okay. So wait, before you heard this, were you on the someone killed
him?
Yeah,
I think it's easy to be like, Epstein didn't kill himself. You know, like people were saying that during television interviews and stuff. But and I always thought, well, why would he want to? And now I get why he would want to. So he was moved to this jail, and from the beginning, they were just completely mishandling him as a inmate. They on his like his processing form, they mistakenly labeled him as a black man. He's obviously white. They said he had no prior history of being a sexual predator. He has two convictions from 2008. And he was put into general population in this jail and was just chilling there for a while until a higher up was like, wait, is that Jeffrey Epstein? We should definitely seclude him. So they did a psychiatric evaluation on him, and the psychiatrist said, like, he's not suicidal. He's adamant that he's not suicidal. He actually smirked at me and said, why would I ever want to kill myself? Life is great. However, that was before all of these records from like his past exploits were exposed. So they were exposed 24 hours later. He had a court date and was denied bail. And the reporter said that when this happened, it was just kind of like an immediate morale just went completely downhill from there. And because he really thought he was going to be able to get out on bail, and all this stuff that he couldn't control was out now. And then in the final 24 hours of his life, I had a bunch of other notes. I wish I had them in front of me. Oh, that's my
Go
bad.
Get a purse.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Dump it out on the floor. notes.
So basically he just realized like, I'm not getting out of this.
Exactly. I think he really thought like
reality hit him.
Yes. And then he was being monitored by these two guards who, you can see video of them just straight up not paying attention. They were falsifying records saying like, we were watching him the whole time, but they're on video and their internet records. One of them was shopping online. The other one was looking up sports stories.
So it seems more negligence than like a conspiracy.
Exactly. They both took naps. And he hung himself with his bed sheet. And then after the fact, they tried to cover it up and make it look like, no, we were watching the whole time. So it kind of looks like from start to finish at this particular jail that he was at, they were just not equipped to handle him.
Wow.
Which does beg the question, okay, did someone powerful intentionally pull strings to get him put in this jail that was lax and was incompetent?
Yeah.
That he could off himself if he wanted to? That's a different story. But I think that he did, in fact, commit suicide. After all of that.
Interesting. Interesting.
Did you see Ghislaine's brother and sister wrote a letter to Merrick Garland to ask for soap and some hand sanitizer that she's not been treated fairly because of COVID, that they she doesn't have anywhere private to talk to her attorneys, and she is not able to wash her hands, and they don't like the restraints that she has been that they're restraining her with because they're leaving bruises, like all these complaints against how they're treating her inhumanely.
Well, you know what? If it's true, then she should win. I don't mean she should win the trial, but
yeah, they should give her soap. But I do find it hard to believe that they're not giving her soap and letting her wash her hands.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, like, look, emotionally, I'm a big fan of, oh, let's just take them out back and put a bullet in their head. Like, emotionally, I'm still very South Roxana. Oh, due process, forget it. We know they did it. Let's go end this right now. But when I settle down and I think more intellectually and my law school comes back, it's like, well, if you're innocent until proven guilty, she's incarcerated by the state, and everyone, and I know this isn't the reality of it, but everyone incarcerated by the state should be safe and healthy.
Yeah.
They just should be. I am very hard on crime. I'm very hard on criminals. I am not as big a fan of rehabilitation as some of the rest of you. I'm much more about punishment, but it's America. You don't let people not have soap.
It's not a
if it's true.
And in my opinion, at least, it's not a prison's place to deal out that sort of judgment, like on a infrastructure level. You know what I mean? Like, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, whether or not we think they should be punished, it's not like the prison's place to be like, yeah, let's rough her up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Let's, like,
agreed,
mess her up.
These two specifically, I mean, it doesn't matter what happens. Everyone thinks she's guilty. Doesn't matter what would have happened with him. Everyone thinks that he killed himself, unless you're not going to dig a little deeper. Like, there's something about this case, obviously gruesome and horrifying, but everyone has already made up their mind.
Well, and part of this podcast, it was actually the Daily podcast that I was listening today. And the reason they went through all this stuff with Epstein was because of the Ghislaine trial. And the reporters were saying a lot of people feel like this is actually the chance to put Jeffrey Epstein on trial. This is the best we're going to get. We, as the public and his victims, were robbed of the chance to actually get justice from him. And they did make the point, like, when you are in custody, you are not allowed to escape, whether it's physically or whether it's by committing suicide. Yeah. And he was allowed to escape. Yeah. So a lot of people are just placing, I mean, she's right. She came out last week and was like, everyone's just blaming me because I'm a woman. Well, it's not because you're a woman. It's because you were aiding this monster. Yeah. So yeah, we are kind of taking it out a little more on you than if you were still here.
Yeah.
But that doesn't change the fact that you were fully involved with most of it.
And I do believe with your sort of theory that there's enough of a conspiracy that someone could have said, send him to this crappy prison. Let's just see what happens. You know, like, if they send him somewhere good where they're really watching him, he couldn't have committed suicide. And
well, this is the same prison that whenever he was on suicide watch prior to all of this. So they did the psychiatric evaluations that he's probably fine, but out of an abundance of caution, we're going to monitor him. They had other prisoners monitoring him. Do you guys remember that detail?
Kinda, yeah.
So, and they were very thorough in what they were writing down as far as, like, he is sitting on the edge of the bed with his head in his palms. You know, like, he got up to watch his hands. They were watching really closely, but then this judgment comes down, like, yeah, no bail. By the way, all this bad stuff about you is out. And he was, at that point, allowed to, you know, he had his breathing room then, which is when it happened.
No one knows what it's like inside his head, but it makes sense that if you go from being a billionaire with private jets and an island to you're really never going to get out of prison.
Mm-hmm. But let's go with the conspiracy that he knew too much. And knew too much about big players involved. Why wouldn't that hold true with her as well? I mean, right?
Yeah, you think so?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever he knew, she probably knew.
I would have thought she would have made a deal by now. If she really knew that much.
To not get this information out?
To just say, like, hey, here you go. Here are five names of world leaders. You cut me a deal and I'll give you the goods. I mean, that's the way it works, right? On everything. Tell you guys about, is it too early to talk about ophthalmology?
Oh, we have 1 minute, but I mean, it's okay.
I wanted to talk about it for about 3 minutes. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, no, Hardee's, I mean, you,
like,
can mention Hardee's,
like,
before.
Any criminal enterprise, we've heard Chet talk about that. I mean, even like trying to get Trump, they would have given Michael Cohen, if he really, here's the deal. It's like,
if he really had the.
What makes me think Michael Cohen has no real goods on Trump? Because he went to prison. And we
he
still haven't heard
that
about him.
Yeah.
You know? If they really, I have to believe that if they really had something just like, this is it, we'd know by now.
Yeah, but at the same, I guess with that same logic, Ghislaine came from like a pretty prestigious family, if I'm not mistaken. And yet her role in life was to serve Jeffrey Epstein. Like, she ran his house and, like, ran his schedule. She was a glorified secretary and was sometimes his girlfriend, but mostly wasn't. That's a really weird position to take in life if you have a bunch of other opportunities. Why would you be in that position other than you're involved with the illegal stuff?
Welcome back, guys. DGS 335. Wheeler Report is brought to you by the Good Feet Store. Comfort, energy, performance, and pain relief at the Good Feet Store. Wheels, how are you?
I'm good. Kinda. I mean, I'm all right.
You look like you're going to confirmation.
I mean, yeah, dude. I mean, so tonight are the Jack Buck Awards over at the MAC. So when we go there, I mean, it's a nice, you know, jacket and tie thing.
Most like Jack Buck.
Yeah, it's a nice night, right? People wear nice clothes, and that just means I got to dress up. So I feel like a dog in a costume right now. You know, they see those pictures, the dog's head's down and one ear's kind of pushed back.
He's got nice shoes on.
I know.
Too,
I got
right?
shiny
He's got
shoes.
It all going, man.
Shiny shoes that click on the floor when they walk and. Yeah, and a tie. I couldn't bring myself to wear the actual jacket for the suit until I get over there. Like, I'm walking in the door, I will put that on.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, otherwise,
do you know whose table you're at? Like,
I'm at the broadcast table.
Ah.
So we'll be just sitting
same
there.
People.
We have a little side. Yeah, it'll be me and Ben Boyd, most likely. The two of us sitting there.
Yeah,
and everybody else.
New.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. But never hang out. Never hang out with Ben or anything. But it'll be fun because there are cool people, fun people that I happen to know a little bit that are being honored. So Isaac Bruce is being honored, for example. I think he and David Backus and Jackie Joyner-Kersee, they'll probably pop by the broadcast table. So, I mean, it'll be fun.
Nice. It'll be a lot different, though, because the baseball people can't go, right?
That's the one interesting take, right? Like, Paul Goldschmidt's one of the honorees this year, and he can't be there because of the lockout.
That stinks.
Yeah. I do think that they're going to try to. I think they tried. I don't know if they succeeded on this or not because I didn't follow up, but I think they might have been getting a video from him. You know, saying something or other.
But you're not allowed to watch it.
I can't. Well, no, I can't ask it any questions. I'll be shouting questions at the screen. What do you think about the lockout, Paul?
So this is a real episode from my life yesterday.
Yeah.
So take Phoebe Christmas shopping. We meet Nick for lunch. Go home. She goes about her 16-year-old world. Nick and I are sitting there talking. And we're just, I don't even know how you came up, but you came up.
Oh, boy.
Kevin Wheeler is now.
That's not good
on
for
the
you.
Floor at my house. Long pause, and I go, I'll tell you this. I wouldn't want to fight him. And Nick goes, oh, God, no.
What?
No.
What? That's funny.
And we landed on, it's a combination of your athleticism, your
former relative youth. Yeah.
You're stocky.
Yes, I am that.
And you just have a terrible temper. So, like, all those things combined, we decided not to fight you.
I mean, I appreciate that. Yeah. I appreciate that. That's
just so
nice.
We're on the record.
I mean, I can say I don't think anybody back in the quote-unquote fighting days ever felt that way. You know, back in college, I don't think anybody went, yeah, we don't want to fight that guy,
I'm
the little short redhead.
Do give off that aura
what,
of just being able to kick anyone's butt.
I mean, anyone that's not trained to be a fighter and that bigger
well,
than
that's
me
pretty good.
And not, you know,
it's pretty good
I'm
part
kidding.
Of the population.
I'm just joking. I'm
okay,
joking.
I was going
to
say.
There have been times in my life where that kind of thing was not that big of a problem for me. I'm a little past that right now.
Well, I hope that's not that important to you.
No,
you're a
I don't plan on being in any fights or anything like that.
You never know. Tonight 50, could get crazy. You know, and you
it's
might
a little different when you're like, you know, I'm going to bench press 320, and then somebody wants to fight you. Like, all right, well, I can just throw that guy out of the way. And now you're 50, and you're like, I can't do that anymore. At least not the same, you know, maybe 293. No.
I just love
it. I do. I know people
we're
always.
A goofy little conversation about fighting you, and you're like, well. I wouldn't want to fight. I mean, I guess I could if I needed to.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not like I wouldn't. I would. I definitely. That's one thing I inherited from my dad. No questions asked.
Right.
Because my dad's like me.
Dominating the weaker.
He's kind of that for sure. But also not being afraid of really. I guess. Not being afraid when you probably should be. Maybe is the better way to put that.
So when you're little boys.
Yeah.
Is that always the thing growing? Like, I'm going to have to fight someone someday. Is that like an underlying
1,000,000%?
It's not just someday. It's probably like next week or tomorrow or whatever.
Yeah, it's every day.
I mean, I might have to fight somebody today. What's going to happen?
My thing. So I was always super small. I didn't grow. I'm normal size now, but I didn't grow until like ninth grade. I was really little, but I was one of the toughest. Like, I was athletic and everything. All we did was fight for fun.
Oh, my
God,
yeah.
All we were doing was wrestling or boxing.
Yeah.
But I was afraid to get in a fight. Like, if it was...
A real...
Wheeler's going to fight you at 3, I'd... But if at 3:05, Wheeler and I are just wrestling, fine.
Yeah, no big deal.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was the focus. The whole, like, everyone, fight, fight, fight. That always intimidated me.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of it, because by no means was I, like, the kid walking around, like, you know... Like, nobody can touch me. I mean, I'm obviously not a tall person. I've never been the big person in class. I've just always had a temper so that if people push me, I go. And it's not like, you know, again, it was never a bullying thing, first of all. I would never do that, even as a kid, because there was one kid that used to pick on me who was way older than me. So at the time, when you're 8 or 9, fighting was not really an option when a 12, 13-year-old kid's messing with you. But, you know... Later on down the line, I did get that guy, so that felt pretty good.
I love that at 50, Wheeler's like, look, it's not my physical stature that intimidates me.
No!
It's my emotional insecurities.
The only thing that might have scared anybody is that I'm a ginger and they thought I had no soul.
Is that a thing?
Well, that's true.
It's a joke. It's more of a modern joke. It's not. I don't think it was a thing back then. I think it's a South Park thing.
Let me Google that.
Yeah, it's a South Park
gingers
thing.
Gingers have no soul.
No, you guys didn't. You never heard that joke?
You never seen the video of the kid who's like, "Gingers
yeah, there's
have
a kid."
Souls.
Like, I felt bad for that kid, but he's like, "We have a soul."
Oh, idea. I just Googled it and saw it.
But that wasn't as much of a thing. I mean, you know, You get that once in a while.
I mostly feel bad for the ginger with the yellow eyes. Like, that happens every now and then.
Do they?
I don't know if I've ever seen one of
those. I don't think I've seen that.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like a
good
medical issue.
How do I not know about that?
You're gingers with
it.
Yellow eyes?
I am Googling.
No, it's not like a medical condition. I'm just
all
saying,
I'm getting
like,
is tabby cats here on the Google image.
That's
shirt.
Probably what I'm thinking about.
I do not see any
yeah,
humans.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting, too.
Yeah, cats came up. There you go.
So, maybe some characters from Twilight.
So the Blues yesterday, Nick and I watched that at a restaurant. We got screwed pretty good with a couple of bad calls, but
yeah. And they're also, I mean, like, they're actually also getting screwed by the way the NHL is doing their COVID rules. I mean, they keep losing people, and they can't replace them because they still count against the cap. Well, you're a team that's up against the cap, and now they're playing shorthanded on top of the fact that they've been struggling to get everybody going. The fact that they, you know, and this is not unique to the Blues. Other teams have had this, too, where the players are constantly coming and going because, you know, one guy goes on the COVID list, and another one comes off, and another guy goes on, and then another one comes off. And you mix that in with normal injuries. And they're playing, you know, they're playing weird combinations. They're still sorting through all the defense. But I really can't find, I can't believe that there's a professional sports league in 2021 that doesn't have a better solution for handling COVID than, you guys got to play with less guys. Mm. You got 17, all right, you got 17. Other teams got 18.
What do you think, I mean, what's the justification for it?
They just don't, I guess they don't want to try to figure out the cap. They don't want to give exceptions for the salary cap. I guess they're afraid people would find a way to abuse it.
Gotcha.
I think that's got to be it. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense.
I keep getting distracted because this is a verbal medium, but we communicate non-verbally with
each
other if
yeah.
there's something going on. And my producer, Andrew, is in there being very animated, and I keep thinking that we're off the air or something, and yet I think he's just regaling Abby with stories of Circle K. So, yeah, I'm guessing that
it's Circle K training.
Okay, I just keep, your hands are high above your head, and you're doing this, and I'm like, oh, God, there's an active shooter, and no, it's probably just...
No, I'm going like, there's all the cherry Coke you can imagine at the Circle K. And...
But then they're running out, so I had to go somewhere
else. Yeah, just rolling her eyes in there, like, is this guy gonna shut up?
She's like, Steve Moore, I'm trained, okay? If this is what you're training for, I got it.
I think I got it figured out. We're good.
NFL, anything interesting going on?
Nothing overwhelming, nothing like over the top. Mm-hmm. You know, the Lions won yesterday, in case anybody cares, so they
Are
won't
they
be...
Are they still mathematically in it? I read that they were mathematically in it.
I have no idea.
They hadn't won a game.
Yeah, they're 1-9-1 or something, or 1-10-1. Yeah. They're 1-10-1.
There's something going around that they're still mathematically possible to make the playoffs.
I guess. I don't know.
That's just sad.
Yeah, the whole thing, I mean, everything about the Lions is sad. Everything about them in their history is sad. In case you can't tell, I grew up, I'm a Lions fan. I
forgot about that.
And... I'm 50. They've won one playoff game in my entire life.
Why?
Idiot ownership, I guess. I mean, it's the only thing that could explain 50 years of stupidity. It's been owned by the Ford family.
It's like a lot of parity in the league, right?
Yes, exactly. In the one sport where everybody basically has a chance every year, they've never had a chance.
That's sad.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to find one factor, I mean, it's the same family that's owned the team the entire time. It's the Ford family. They know a lot more about cars than football, I guess.
I'm going to try this. I think it's going to fall flat,
uh-oh,
but I'm going to try it. There have been a few things in my life that were things. Like, I've been into a lot of stuff, but when I was into soccer, I was deep in. The whole bodybuilding thing, deep. Drums, deep. The football Cardinals. If I just see the Henri Bird, I mean, it was my life. Like, what do you guys remember as, like, real things that, like, defined you for a good while? Anything like that?
Well, along your soccer thing, I mean, CYC was a big thing in grade school, so we would all go see the Steamers like every weekend.
You're
Jeff Cacciatore and Steve Petcher. Yes, I remember their jerseys. And then we would
I've
wear
seen
those.
Cacciatore naked.
Really?
In the locker room.
Oh, he was cute. Those bumblebee socks. Remember, they were the soccer socks, but they were like pink and green
the
or
haircut.
Blue and white. Yeah, the haircut. And then you'd go to Omni Sports and get the plastic shorts. Like, in grade school, we were big into that.
Rach, anything like that?
Pretty much just Pokemon.
Oh, they laughed at you.
No, it was cute.
It was my life.
No, I get that.
So, I'm sorry. Is this, because I'm not that familiar. The only Pokemon I'm familiar with is when people started downloading on
Pokemon
their phones,
Go.
And then they would try to find the Pokemon
when it
places.
First, like, came to the United States whenever I was a little kid, and it was on TV, and you would play it on your Game Boy, like, that was my life. And also wishing it was real. you know, playing the games, that's watching cute. The show, wishing it were real.
Let me commiserate.
Andrew knows what I'm talking about.
I was super in the way that she was into Pokemon, into Planet of the Apes playing cards. And there were only like 38 to collect, and the hardest one was Sergeant Urko chewing on a bone. And I tried to explain that to my dad. That didn't end well.
Yeah. He was probably like, what?
Yeah, guys, I need this
What
one.
Happened to you?
Can you guys guess what my obsession was?
Oh, boy.
Sports.
Sports ball, hockey.
Just that simple, huh?
I mean, that, well, the, to try to go away from that, because that's a profession that's not necessarily a hobby, I would say there was a period of time there, and it continues now that it's one of those fascinations. I'm just always fascinated with the crowds at heavy metal concerts, and that kind of music always appeals to me, and it's just a different, it's different than what you'll see in other places.
Did your parents worry when you got into metal? Yeah,
at first they're like, that's not devil music. And I'm like, no, it's not devil music. They're singing about sex and drugs and rock and roll. I mean,
it's about sex, Mom.
It's kind of devil-y.
But like all the same as their music, though.
It's about devil
That's
sex.
What all it was in the 60s and 70s. That's what my parents listened to. I said, it's the same stuff you guys listen to.
Speaking
it's
of
just
crowds,
faster and louder. Is all.
That was a good argument.
I had to work, I don't know what it was, some sort of wrestling event for radio. I was like some sort of host. I really can't remember what I was doing. Huh?
Oil wrestling?
Yeah, something like that. No, it was like really wrestling. I was shocked. At the crowd. It was, for lack of a better term, it was like soccer moms, like yelling for death at these wrestlers. I was like, what is, I felt
People
like I
really
was
like
in
it.
An alternate universe. It was really crazy because I had never been to any sort of wrestling event at all. But like,
it's an eye opener.
Yeah, it's like your next door neighbor. I was like, what is happening?
I think I'd feel that way if I went to one of those monster truck deals.
Yeah, it was like, that's
you
what
and
it
Dave
felt
Klein
like.
And his sons showing up with a monster truck.
I'd love to go to something like that. You gonna hang out?
Yeah.
In your tie there, Fauntleroy?
I know you guys are enjoying my pain.
353 DGS, one of my favorite songs of all time. Trish, what kind of trouble is Kool-Aid Man causing now?
Oh, this is so funny. You know the Kool-Aid when he comes through the wall?
Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah! Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there is a bunch of fence vandalism going on around the country. Idaho, Ohio, Nebraska, New York, and everybody's blaming it on a TikTok challenge.
The Kool-Aid challenge? Is that what this is?
The Kool-Aid challenge, yes.
Wow.
But they went to TikTok, and TikTok's like, listen, we searched the whole thing. We aren't finding a Kool-Aid challenge. But every single case that was reported, like someone's like, I heard on Facebook that it could be because of TikTok. But I just think it's funny because just the visual of the Kool-Aid man breaking through a wall is hilarious.
Yeah. I'm not condoning anything. But if someone crashed through my wall and yelled, hey, Kool-Aid,
oh,
I'm
yeah.
laughing.
Oh, yeah!
I'm laughing. If I don't shoot you, we're going to laugh about this.
Anyway, I just thought it's funny because anytime something starts happening, they're like, it's TikTok.
It's those darn kids on TikTok.
It's a TikTok challenge. But anyway.
Did you guys ever get to run through, like, in sports in high school or something, run through the banner that the cheerleaders made for you guys if it was, like, a tournament or a big game
no,
or something?
No, because they didn't do that for anything. I didn't play football. They only did that for football.
Yeah, I guess they wouldn't do it for baseball.
No, it's kind of weird. It's kinda... Now stepping to the plate.
Oh, get this.
I should be great,
speaking
by the way.
Of shooting someone, damn, I don't really have time to tell this, but I will. Okay, so
I shot someone.
I played football, and so the cheerleaders would come out the night before a game and put a big piece of paper on your door that had like a drawing of you and good luck, Dave. They do it for every player. My neighbor was insane and he was a gun nut. And it scared my mom and dad. They're like, Jack, you know, and so they were all, they're afraid because of the cheerleaders. But it's like 11:30 p.m. I look out and I'm like, no, it's cheerleaders. It's fine. Don't worry about it. The next day, the crazy guy, who I love, by the way, but he was insane, he goes, I had my German Ruger trained on one of their heads.
Oh, my God.
And I was just about to pull the trigger when I saw the back of their shirt said, Roxanna Cheerleading. That's how close we came to me being famous for a cheerleader being killed on my front porch.
Not cool.
Well, thank goodness nothing went wrong.
Good luck, Dave. Jeez.
No, I mean, he shot her. He just get her in the shoulder.
Oh, okay.
No, that's like that. That happened. Like, he was going to shoot and I was so excited that a girl knew where I lived.
Someone needs to tell Francis to lighten up.
That would have just been my luck. Yeah. The first girl that ever showed up on my porch gets shot in the head. Anyway.
Pajamagram's
back. how much do you love me?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.